You're listening to TechNado. Welcome to another exciting, riveting episode of TechNado. That sounded really sarcastic, but I do mean it. Another thrilling, exciting adventure.
Blow your mind.
We are going to have some fun today. It was an interesting news cycle this week. A lot of leaks, a lot of bridges.
Yeah. Nothing. It didn't seem like there was a lot of crazy things going on this week, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A few. We got some articles. Right? But nothing like, I was kind of like struggling to find a few good things. Like, actually, good thing. I mean, I feel like this is a good problem for us to have.
Right, exactly. If there's not a ton of bad stuff happening.
Everything just kind of settled down this week a little bit. So
everybody's coming back from 4th of July. They're still hungover.
The comments are going to be like, bullshit, Daniel.
Right. Yeah. You missed 8 stories.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. Listen, I can only do so much. I am. But one man.
There were definitely some big things happened this week, like you said. And we do have a couple of breaking news pieces that just, you know, because we record these and then we try to check and see what's been happening while we're recording. So it's stuff that we don't have a lot of details on yet. But for instance, this week was Patch Tuesday. So let's allow the segment to happen, unless Christian might have already done it.
I think he did.
You think he did already do the breaking news?
I feel like I saw the breaking news.
No? Okay. We're getting word from Christian. Yeah. We can't see like the cool effects that he does.
It has not been done yet.
It has not been done yet. So we can't see the effects until afterwards. So we'll give him a second. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
There it
is. We can see that kind of. Like if I'm looking at you, I can totally see that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
She's blind.
It's behind me, so I struggle. So a couple different pieces we wanted to get into this week. Of course, it was Patch Tuesday. This week, Microsoft's July update patched 143 flaws, including 2 actively exploited flaws. So that's always interesting, 2 of which have come under active exploitation in the
wild.
Sounds
like a problem.
Sounds like a problem. And the CVSS scores are pretty high, 7.8, 7.5. So that's, I mean, nothing to sneeze at.
Nope.
Had to do with elevation of privileges and platform spoofing. That's always fun.
Okay.
Anytime I see elevation or escalation of privileges, that's always, that's not good.
Yeah. Well, you got to think also those are going to be, so privilege escalation is going to usually be in a post-exploitation environment. Right.
They've already gained access.
You've already got real problems. Now they're just looking to continue the damage at this point and have more control, more capabilities inside of your system than they already do. And so it's good for us to go ahead and patch those things up. You know, it's funny. You read a lot of these articles, especially when it comes to these patches that get released, you know, Microsoft has Patch Tuesday, and you look through them. Now we do point out that there are 2 actively exploited things so patching is a good idea at this point, but a lot of times, and if you look through this article specifically, it does it as well. There's 143.
Mm-hmm.
143, and it's like, an attacker could potentially do X. An attacker could possibly commit Y. And it's like, okay, but you already found the vulnerability and made a patch for it before that was public knowledge.
Yeah.
So, yes, we should patch for it. And we are, because Microsoft kind of heavy-handedly comes along, especially for the home user, and make sure that happens, which is a good thing. But your article is a little sensationalized at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that kind of seems to be the standard now.
Yeah.
Most things, it's like I'll see something and it's like a million people were affected. And I go in and look and it's like, okay, well, a million people had like one piece of data that was exposed. So technically they're affected, but it was like their email address that got exposed.
It's a big deal that there's this gaping hole or whatever, but we found it and fixed it before anybody knew about it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Or, I mean, I know. Yeah. So listen, this I'm speaking in generalities here. There could be some crazy APT out there going crazy on that. But for the most part, like we'd probably, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I get what
you're saying. Like you're yes, you should patch.
I guess because there's so many, those would be the ones to highlight if they're going to specifically call out any. They did call out a couple others that were, it says, they were publicly known at the time of release, so they were already known. A side channel attack called Fetch Bench, which is a fun name.
It'd
be really easy to botch that one. and then CVE 2024-35264, it's a remote code execution bug, but those were already known and then they were.
We discovered them. We were security researchers, figured out they were there.
Right.
And then the patch was created. So that's good. It tells us that for the most part, it sounds like security is doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
At least finding and fixing issues.
Yeah. Good job. Give them a pat on the back.
Yeah, they're earning their money.
Yeah, earning their keep. Because then the rest of the vulnerabilities, of course, would be hard to go through all of them. So they group them. They're like, 37 RC flaws, and da-da-da-da. They kind of just group them together, which makes sense. But Patch Tuesday is always something to at least mention.
It is that time again.
It is about that time.
And then, like Wes was saying, and it's Wednesday, so it's Rollback Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. That's true, yeah.
Right? So Patch Tuesday happened yesterday. It's Rollback Wednesday today.
Yeah.
And by the time you see this, it's Thursday, so you've already done all that stuff.
Hopefully, yeah. Ideally, if you've been paying attention, you've already done all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things. The other thing I wanted to mention is that Samsung's dealing with a strike right now in South Korea. Thousands of Samsung workers launch indefinite strike over pay. And I saw something about this. There was, I think it was Samsung, like weeks ago, there was like a one-day strike, and it was a day that a lot of people were already going to be off anyway. So at the time, I didn't really pay much attention to it, but now they've been talking more and more about, oh, no, this is becoming more consistent. And so
what's their complaint?
Pay. It's mainly pay. So
you're making enough money.
Well, that's always it, isn't it? Isn't it usually something to do
like
with money?
My dad was a union delegate for the Teamsters for a long time. Yeah.
Oh.
So I grew up in union halls and all my brothers were in
I did not know that.
Stuff. Oh, yeah.
I learned something new about Daniel every week. There's always new lore about Daniel. They are demanding a 3.5% increase in base salary and extra day off to mark the union's foundation day and a fairer bonus system between executives and lower ranking workers. So that's their demands. We'll see if, I guess, Samsung meets the demands.
Yeah, I don't know how that works over in South Korea, like how like what their unions look like and how they operate.
Yeah, because I would imagine it's different than the U.S.
My dad used to say, what I do is, you know, my dad's an old, you know, he's gone now, but he would tell me what I would do is I would go to the workers and say, you know, what's the problem? And, oh, you know, we need a bump in pay. Okay. Well, what are you looking for? You know, this was back in like the 60s and 70s and stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, we're looking for 10 cent raise.
Right.
Oh, okay. So you go to the, you know, organization, the corporation and say, listen, these guys are ready to strike. It's getting ready to get ugly. I don't want that. You don't want that. You know, what are you going to do about it? And they say, well, you know, we can do something. What do you want? And he goes, well, I need 50 cents. And they go, oof, we can't do 50 cents. It's way too much. You go, well, what can you do? And they would say, well, how about 25 cents? I don't know. Let me go ask them and see if they'd be okay with that. And he would go back to the guys and say, hey, I got you 25 cents. They said they thought I was great.
Yeah.
That was the best guy. Yes, give us 25 cents. You know, well, you know, they said that was good. And
they agreed. It's acceptable.
Everyone was happy.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone was happy.
That reminds me a little bit of that scene in Goodfellas where Henry Hill's negotiate. He's like, just give Jimmy his money. Just give him his money.
Right.
And he's there on behalf of Jimmy, like trying to look, I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Let's just agree to disagree. And little negotiation going on.
It's kind of funny how that under promise and over deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. They seem to do that in like job interviews too, don't they? Like,
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Always set the proper expectation.
Yeah. I want $1 million. We can't do that. Well, I guess I'll accept something less. I guess.
If that's all you got.
Yeah, I'm really going to have to cut back, but okay.
Right. See, I used to do this when my first help desk job, right? On my first help desk job, they would what we were doing was a lot of Y2K upgrading.
Okay.
And servicing like, you know, computer issues around. It was at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It was a local hospital. It was a Chance.
Oh, right? Okay.
So they got a bunch of computers in for these Y2K upgrades.
Yeah.
Like they were just big shipments of hundreds of computers, and our boss would be, how many, you know, do you think you can get 100 done this week? Which was a lot, and we could do it easily. And I would go, you know, that's a lot, but we're going to work hard for you.
See what
and,
we can do.
Yeah. And he goes, well, how long do you think it's going to take? Can you do it this week? And I go, listen, I really think it's going to take 2 weeks. Oh, okay. If you can get it done in 2 weeks, that'll be fine. And then I would come in at a week and go, we really killed it. But we didn't. Right. But listen, if it's like hiccups happened and we weren't expecting something that occurred, we now had a week worth of buffer. And if we got it done in 2 weeks, we hit the expectation and they were happy because we set the expectation at something that was reasonable. And then anything we got that was under that, we look like superheroes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Which we know we could easily do unless something came in and then we knew we could hit the set expectation. This is how this is done.
I feel like that's smart too, because like if you go above and beyond, then it's like that becomes the norm. And so then you keep exceeding and exceeding, and then eventually it's like, well, I'm working at max capacity and now this is what you think is the bare minimum.
Time. You should always set in a little buffer of time for things that could go wrong that you cannot foresee.
And for your own prevention of burnout.
What was that movie about the oil rig that in the Gulf of Mexico, and it had Mark Wahlberg in it?
Oh.
And he talked about how you're trying to land the plane at the exact moment it runs out of fuel.
Deepwater Horizon?
Yes, Deepwater Horizon. Okay. That was it. That's what he was telling the executives. You're trying to land the plane at exactly the moment it runs out of fuel.
Cutting it a little close. Yeah.
This is not a good strategy. Do not do that.
Strike, union strike. Yeah. It was a fun little aside there.
Yeah.
And then we won't go into detail on it because they're doing it right now, but they're having their second Galaxy Unpacked event, Samsung is. So they're announcing specs about new phones.
It'll be interesting to see how this affects tech.
Yeah.
Right? Like, will this there? Because according to this article, they're saying that the workers are trying to impact chip production.
Yeah.
And Samsung is being like, that ain't not on my watch, it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see who's going to win that battle.
Yeah, who's going to hold out longer?
Yeah.
Who's going to wait out longer? So that's all I had for breaking news, unless you had anything else. I think that was pretty much all.
I didn't expect to go on that ride, I got to be honest with you.
You got to like recalibrate now.
Yeah, I'm just talking.
That's what makes it fun. Just talking.
Just talking.
Just shut up. You're always talking.
Always talking.
So beyond the breaking news just from today and from yesterday, another big story this week, getting into our articles that we've selected. Rock You 2024 compilation containing 10 billion passwords was leaked online. That's no small amount of passwords, Daniel, if I'm not mistaken.
Seems like a lot. Mm-hmm. So are you familiar with Rock You?
I feel like when we do some of our episodes on like when you're showing password cracking and stuff, that's one of the like lists that you mentioned.
It's kind of like the de facto, right? Yeah. The Rock You list is like the list for a lot of things.
I can see why.
Password cracking being one of them. So Rock You was like a website, I want to believe.
Okay.
And it's been a while since I've been down the history of how Rock You became a thing in the security world. But ultimately, it was a massive database of usernames and passwords that got leaked.
Hmm.
And the cool thing, I'm using that word very loosely.
Right.
The interesting thing about that was it gave us some insights on how people create passwords and what they're using and how they think when they're creating passwords. So you get to analyze that and use it really well. And of course, it is also a legitimate list of usernames and passwords. And now you can do things like credential stuffing and brute forcing and having a good time with that action right there. It continues to evolve. It continues to, and as new breaches come along and everything, it just grows and grows and grows. And now we're at 10 billion passwords.
I know this isn't super like relevant to what was posted. Sure. I just think it's funny that it was posted on July 4th by user Obamacare.
Yeah, that was so funny. I saw that too. It was like Obama.
Obama did what?
Whoa, Barack, dude.
This is a little overkill. A little overkill.
You need to calm down, son.
So, like you said, this is a collection of real world passwords. So probably a lot of them are like the common, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and that kind of stuff that we see.
Sure.
Even though year after year after year, it's like, change your password, make them stronger. You always see stuff like that pop up.
Yeah, this just makes it a whole lot, more effective to do like dictionary attacks.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Because it's highly likely that there is a lot of password reuse, so credential stuffing is always a problem. And this is why we shouldn't be using the same password. So if someone got this Rock You list, maybe they get access to one thing, but they shouldn't have access to everything. If you and you should have 2FA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or even better, go with some sort of token or like a Titan key or a YubiKey or something to that effect. And now it's even harder, right? You got to have multi-factor enabled because then if they just have a username and password and you're not using that username and password anywhere else, you're much safer.
Right.
Not saying you're completely safe.
You might get a notification that says like, hey, press this to log in or authenticate, like, and then you've got an indicator.
Hell no. You know what's funny is that works too.
Because people will just be like, okay.
They just click okay because the attacker will be like, well, I got a good username and password. I'll just keep spamming the hell out of someone.
They call that an MFA bomb? MFA bomb or something?
Yeah, where they just are constantly hitting your phone with, please do this, please do this, please do this. And people just get upset and go, whatever.
Yeah, I'm tired of this.
Bruh, if I'm getting that, my heart is going to jump out of my throat. Yeah. And I'm running to my computer.
I'm changing every password.
I'm changing passwords. Like, whatever the hell that is, the password is getting changed.
Yeah.
If I start getting nothing but notifications about, hey, click this to allow, click this to allow, click this to allow. Are you logging in? Are you logging in? Is this you? Is this you? I don't care if it's 3 a.m. I am out of bed and my laptop's opening up.
Yeah.
And I'm changing that password.
Why take the chance? You might as well. Yeah. I did think it was nice that they had, I know there's like a Have I Been Pwned and stuff where you can check if your information's appeared in like a leak. But specifically, they had one that you can check for, like, if your email or phone has been leaked, but another one where you can specifically check if your password has been leaked. And because you're providing it without, like, a username or email or anything, it's just the password by itself. So, like, I don't know, let's just say password. I am typing password. This is not a real password I use. And let's see. Oh, no, it's been leaked. Oh, I would never have guessed that had been leaked.
You know what? Try password one.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's going to be way
password
more.
Password one. Was that more times?
No. Throw an exclamation point on the end of there. There you go. You're good to go now. Ah, son of a. Huh. Spring 2025.
I did try it with maybe spring 2025 already. People are ahead of the curve. It's not even 2025 yet.
Listen, because that is a known pattern of people, how they create passwords. They think that they're clever because they're just trying to satisfy the requirements of the password device.
Yeah.
Right? The password policy.
Just hurry up, get past it.
And it needs to be easy to remember.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the failing behind password. We talked kind of a little bit about this last week. That's why it is better if you couple that with some sort of multi-factor. And if you then are using a solid password manager that can generate secure passwords that you don't need to remember, just let it. And yes, I understand. Listen, we cannot cover everything. Please understand that we're just talking here. We're just kind of riffing off the top of our heads.
Yeah.
This is an in-depth topic that we could not plumb the depths of in 10 minutes in a segment.
Right.
Right. There's a lot to it. But by and large, basically what you do, use a password manager, use the generator that's in there to create secure passwords for each site. They're all unique. They're all random. And I'll couple that with multi-factor. And this is what gets you to closest to, and if you have like a YubiKey or a Titan key, even better.
Yeah. I'm like the annoying friend and relative now that like at family gatherings or whatever, that if somebody's talking about, I got to put in my password in, I'm like, you know, you really should be using a password manager. I'm telling you, I am like the irritating, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You like your password manager. I'm not
You've
doing
had a
that.
Religious experience.
I have. Now that I'm using
you
one,
you are sharing
like,
the password gospel with everyone.
I used to keep them in my planner. I can't believe now that I did that because I take my planner with me everywhere, but like it could easily get lost.
So one of the favorite items for if you're doing like dumpster diving is those desktop calendars.
Yeah.
Because people write their passwords and stuff in the margins. And because they sit on your desk all year and then you throw it away and you go, I wonder if any of those are still good.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt to check.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt to check.
If you're a bad actor.
Right.
If
I was a red teamer and I was doing like physical assessment.
Sure.
I would absolutely be looking, man, that is gold.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee if those passwords don't work, some derivation of them will. So,
like you said, there's, I'm sure, a lot of nuance, but by and large, I think that's a good solution you proposed or, you know, way to try to prevent against your credentials or your accounts getting access unauthorized.
We want you to be safe.
We want you to be safe. We care about you. I know it doesn't seem like it by the deadness in my eyes, but we do care about you.
The soulless.
It's just the way my eyes are. I can't help it. I look like a fish. You know, I can't help it. Anyway, moving on. We've got a couple other articles to get through. Ransomware gang leaks data allegedly stolen from Florida Department of Health. I'm covering this because it's no secret that like I'm from Florida.
We live
and
in Florida.
I enjoy Florida. I'm a Florida enjoyer. So figured we would touch on this one. 100 gigabytes of data from the Florida Department of Health claimed by the Ransom Hub ransomware gang. And they're no stranger to the ransomware gang, given their name. But they're a pretty big group that's been busy this year.
I'm just hearing their rap song in my head. Ransomware, 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 ransomware.
Like Gucci Gang?
Yeah, like Gucci Gang. The Ransomware Gang.
Oh, man.
That's a horrible song.
It's a horrible song.
Does it qualify as a song? I mean, it's a lot of
noise, for sure. Yeah. It's definitely noise. I haven't heard that in forever.
You can rap. It's fine. Hip hop's awesome.
No, sure.
Yeah.
But that's different.
That specific one.
Fans of rap would agree with you that that's it's like a joke song. People listen to it as a joke. I don't think it's really taken seriously. And rightfully so. Anyway, so Ransom Hub, they began publishing, allegedly, this stolen information over the weekend because they obviously demanded a ransom, and the Florida Department of Health didn't pay the ransom. The deadline was last Friday, but that's because under Florida law, government entities are prohibited. You can't pay ransom. We don't negotiate with terrorists.
No, we do not.
Like Daniel was saying earlier.
Can't
so you can't have it.
It's just then it'll just encourage them.
Yeah, you pay the ransom, and it's like, and then there's no guarantee.
You get your cyber insurance company to pay the ransom.
Yeah, right, right. That's the way to do it.
But we didn't pay.
Yeah, think smarter, not harder.
Yeah, that's right.
and I guess, too, like, I was going to say, even if you pay the ransom, there's no guarantee that they'll actually then release your data or delete it or whatever. But the ransomware gang has motivation to do what they say they're going to do, because if they don't keep up their end of the deal.
I guess the question becomes is, like, will the this agency follow that procedure and that mandate to not pay out? And then if that is the case, then what is the incentive for a ransomware gang to go after someone that is not going to pay?
Yeah, if you already know that's
if your whole purpose in life is to just get as much money out of people as you can.
Yeah.
It makes me think that maybe we're not too far off that they don't pay, but they pay.
Right. Officially,
right? We don't pay. We didn't pay.
Yeah, because otherwise,
unofficially, somebody got paid.
Like, why would you ever, for the purposes of extorting money, why would you then go after a government entity like this?
Right. If
if you were like a hacktivist or something, and you were like, I'm taking this information because I'm going to publish and expose you or whatever. But
you're not
is
after money at that point. You're just after change.
You're hell bent on causing problems.
Or causing bringing attention to your cause or whatever the case is.
So, and in this case, it was PII, so like names, addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, all that stuff, like just patient information. So stuff,
all the oldies but goldies, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. All the common offenders that we see here.
Your favorite hits from and then 70s, 80s, and today.
Some interesting stuff like dental services data that is like, I don't know how you would use that. I'm sure you could find a nefarious use for that, but I don't know that I really want that out there.
So this is how I've kind of like understood it and seen it is... Mm-hmm. It's because it's like, what do you care whether or not I had a hip replacement?
Yeah.
Right? What do you care whether or not I had a root canal? Like, how is that information useful to an attacker? Mm. Well, it's ransomware data. So I've crypto locked your system. If you want to get that system back, you have to pay the ransom. And then if it's double extortion, then it's like, hey, I'm going to leak all this information online. So you got to pay me again if you don't want me to do that. Like, it's how this works. And the reason that becomes a useful thing to do for those ransomware gangs is because if I know that you had a hip replacement, I can now call you and say, hey, I'm with Dr. So-and-so's office.
Right.
And we know you had a hip replacement and we really want to sign you up for this. And now let's start getting, and they start conversations with people and they use that for identity theft.
Because you think, well, they wouldn't know all this information unless they're really representative of this of this office.
They have all this information about you that you know isn't public.
Yeah.
Right? So the only way they can talk about case numbers or you know, your account numbers and everything, because they have all that, the only way you would have that is if you were legit.
Yeah.
So it gives them the legitimacy they need to be able to extort people.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can always find a nefarious use for information somehow. This is the same group that was responsible for the attack on Frontier Communications that we talked about earlier this year. So like I said, they've been busy. And we'll have to see if Florida Department of Health, they've not obviously given any kind of a statement or anything. They tried to reach out to them and haven't heard from them. I'm not surprised. They're probably a little busy right now, I'm sure, dealing with this. So to see if anything more comes out about this.
Just 1 minute. Be right with you.
I'm a little busy right now.
Sucks.
It did say, obviously, disrupted a bunch of services, but one that they called out specifically was the online system used for birth and death certificates issuance. So if you're having a baby this past week, it's like, sorry.
They're going to slow roll that certificate for a little while.
Yeah. A month later, you're like, sorry, what day was that again? What time?
Listen, I need a birth certificate for my job.
You just have like a notebook
paper.
Well,
I mean, think about the disruption that causes, like, especially with death certificates.
Yeah.
Right? Where I need you to stop this service. I need you to stop this payment. I need you to stop this, that, the other, because they no longer are here with us.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
So please stop. And they're like, not until I get a death certificate.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Mm, interesting. Hopefully they're able to get stuff back online sooner.
You probably haven't had to go through that a lot in your life.
Because I'm sitting here alive in front of you?
No, because you haven't had a lot of relatives
pass away. That's true. And any relatives that I had pass away, I was so young that
it
was not the one.
It wouldn't have affected you.
Yeah. It's not like oh yeah, I had a spouse
statistically,
or whatever.
As a younger person.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And I'm also not dead, which is, you know.
Which good. You still wouldn't be taking care of it at that point.
Again, I know it's the expression, but I am not dead, I promise.
She's the undead.
in a little bit more, well, I guess it's not happier news, it's different news. Social different engineering, news. We're going to talk about that. Social engineering attacks take center stage on Amazon Prime Day in 2024. To be clear, it's not Amazon Prime Day yet, but they do all these early Prime deals, so it's basically like a month-long affair.
Yeah, so it says Amazon Prime Day, which falls on July 16th and 17th.
Yeah, so next week.
Is it like a 24-hour period that starts in the morning of the 16th
like
and ends on the morning
on the 16th.
Of the 17th? Yeah, how are we working? How is 2 days Prime Day?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
It's like how Black Friday is like a week-long ordeal now.
Just call it something else. Yeah, I know it started off as Prime Day, and you don't want to lose that marketing campaign, but just make Prime Day and then make like another day that's 2 or 3 days, whatever.
Yeah. Prime prep day. Yeah. Prep for Prime Day. So they're saying that while you shop, cyber criminals lurk in the background waiting to steal your credentials. Ooh, that makes it sound so spooky. But I could see how if you are thinking like, oh, I got to get these deals, da, 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 you might be eager to make a purchase and not pay as much attention to what you're purchasing or like the details surrounding
it. I mean, think about how phishing works. Mm-hmm. It's social engineering.
Right.
Right. At the base of a phishing campaign is social engineering. I want to, as an attacker, take advantage of pressure. I want to use pressure to push you into doing something that you probably normally would be a little more like,
a little more skeptical.
Right.
Yeah.
But because of the time sensitivity and you want to get those deals and you are getting legitimate ads left, right, and center, now I can just kind of, as an attacker, hide and obfuscate myself in the milieu of all that.
Yeah.
Right? I get to blend into that traffic and make that deal that looks just right. And if I'm doing my job as someone that's using a phishing campaign, that's what I'm doing. I'm not going like, hey, buy a car for $4.
Yeah.
Right? You make it reasonably like, oh man, that's the sweetest deal. And yet it's not unbelievable. Right. Those are the best fishes. I shouldn't be telling you this.
Right. Well, now you know. Yeah. Now you know that if you see something that's like, that's just too good to be true. But
if
you see
MacBook
legit.
Pros for $200, that's too good to be true. That's never going to happen.
Anthony was telling me about how I think it was a relative of his that got scammed because she saw a deal for like a kayak or something for a ridiculously cheap amount of money, $50 or something. And she was like, this is a great deal, and paid it. And
no crap.
She did receive something in the mail. It was a postcard of a kayak. So they did send her, I think, the picture that she thought.
Man.
So,
that's like, talk about adding insult to injury.
So it looked, she was like, this apparently looked legit. And it's good to be true. I gotta, you know, grab it while I can. And they did send her something.
Yeah.
It's just not
a guarantee in the fine print of that. It says that's what we're sending you.
Yeah. She thought it said the kayak pictured and it said the picture of the kayak. That's what she was be receiving. So anyway, I don't know what relative of his it was, but just thought that was interesting that somebody we know.
Goodness gracious.
It's the people closest to us. So this is why we talk about this stuff, so that you know and you can stay vigilant. And then they also listed some Amazon websites, some fraudulent Amazon websites.
Like typo-squatted stuff.
And stuff that like Amazon-onboarding, which is interesting. I would think like if I'm an employee of Amazon maybe, but a lot of times if you're not paying attention to the URL.
You just see the Amazon
and you think, okay.
A lot of people just see that and their brain goes, cool, legit.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
Or the specifically targeting like unique URLs to like different countries. So like Amazon Indo, Amazon MXC that are like the Amazon Mexico domains.
Yeah.
So something to look out for. Pay attention to the URLs.
You got
to
be very, very
scrupulous.
Scrupulous. Thank you. That was exactly the word I was looking for.
Oh, same wavelength. That's the one time that'll happen today.
Yeah.
And then phishing attempts, like you said. So credential harvesting, phishing attempts, and they've got some tips here for how to avoid scammers, about checking URLs, using strong passwords, all the regular things that hopefully you're doing anyway.
Yep.
But especially surrounding an event like this where people are making a lot of purchases and trying to get good deals.
I
no
like
hate.
This one. Think before you click.
I'm going to probably be making some Amazon Prime Day purchases, I'm sure. But it's just something to keep in mind if you're going to be partaking in that. So I'm glad you brought that one up. Because
It's just good. It's a good PSA, right?
Yeah, good PSA.
Awareness. Enjoy Prime Day. Mm. Prime Days, because it's really Prime Days.
I thought that was like you imitating like a phone buzzing. No, I don't really. A little onomatopoeia.
Just be careful.
Just be careful. And in other, I guess, related news as far as being careful about the stuff that you're picking up, the things you're purchasing, hackers are leaking, supposedly, 39,000 print-at-home Ticketmaster tickets for 154 events. Probably, if you've seen this, the big event name that's been highlighted is Taylor Swift. But there were other ones as well, Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam and other groups and events. Fish with a PH. I didn't know they were still touring. I know who they are. I just didn't know they were touring. That's like, I think my dad used to listen to them, like on the radio, whatever.
Yeah, that was a 90s.
I'm sure.
Like jam band.
It would make sense. Yeah. It's and you may have, we talked about this, I think, but previously it was that they were leaking information and credentials and stuff, and now they are leaking barcodes for print-at-home tickets. But I was thinking about this earlier, like, oh, so people could just print out these barcodes that have leaked and then take them in. But I would think if, like, to combat this, maybe then as Ticketmaster, you start demanding then proof of purchase as well at the door. Like, okay, you've got a barcode for your print-at-home ticket. Let's see the receipt. Let's see the email confirmation that you bought it, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, how will that affect the efficiency of getting people into the venue?
Yeah.
Right? Will that make it such a hassle that people kind of go, I guess I'm not going, or maybe I go get a refund because I just want to deal with this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a good point.
That's, and I'm guessing it's all those things combined that are is the pressure on Ticketmaster to pay these people the money they want.
And this is the second, the Taylor Swift thing. It was specifically last week over 150,000 Taylor Swift ticket barcodes, and they said, we want 2 million for these. And in, this is the second instance where it's 39,000 and they're demanding 500,000. So, yeah, I'm curious if Ticketmaster, like you said, you shouldn't pay the ransom, but some companies do. So
did we see, I didn't read whether how they actually made, what was the initial access into their systems, into Ticketmaster systems?
That's a good point.
If I had to guess, I would say it was a phishing campaign.
Yeah.
And somebody clicked a link, or it was credential stuffing, something. You know, it's so funny to me how a lot of these big hacks, some of them are like legit, like we had a very recent software exploitation and they were able to make, you know, their initial access through that. But a lot of times it's just somebody in the company clicked a link.
Yeah.
And then through that, they leveraged it to be able to get into the systems. And now they're crypto locked and everything's going haywire.
Yeah.
It amazes me that this is the world we live in.
Back in my day.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of security, so pen tests, red team, what's the word? I'm losing my mind today. Yeah. Engagements. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. A lot of red team engagements, pen testing engagements. They start with assumed breach because it's most likely going to happen.
Well, and they say you should assume because then you know what to look. You're looking right. for actively.
So Ben Fink from OnDefend, right? Me and him had a conversation about this. We were talking. I said, how often do you get to do a phishing campaign? He's like, not very often on their pen test engagements. He says, it's kind of rare. I said, why is that? He goes, because they know that it's going to be effective. So we just go ahead and start with assume breach.
Just take out the middleman. Just like, skip a step.
This is very disheartening. Yeah.
Why waste our time?
The fact that there is no possible real means to stop them from phishing campaigns being effective.
Human error will always be effective.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Nobody's perfect, right? So
no,
it's
why we need better systems, and this is where it starts getting like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because I mean, you can do training, and training is great, security awareness training, all that stuff. But you could do training to the end of the world, and it's
always a non-zero sum of like
there will still be somebody that will click on a link, and a convincing email, a convincing link at some point is going to get through. So it's an unfortunate reality. As far as, the initial access, it's not talked about in this article specifically, just because this Ticketmaster stuff's been going on for a while. This is just the latest
this is the ongoing
shenanigan that they've gotten into. I will say I can respect that they released ticket data for a good spectrum of concerts. It wasn't just Taylor Swift and Sabrina Carpenter and pop artists. It was Alanis Morissette, Fish, Pink, Suicide Boys, which I was like, oh, okay.
I'm not familiar with them.
Okay. You wouldn't like them. They're relatively new in the last few years. Yeah. You wouldn't like them.
What kind of music do they make?
Good question. It's Sad very... No,
Joji?
It's like kind of intense. It's not like Joji. It's very like... It's rap, but intense.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really know how to describe it. I don't know. I'll see
they're
if I can find...
their own thing?
Kind of. I'll see if I can find a genre name for them. I don't know how to describe it off the top of my head.
They're breaking new ground.
Very like intense lyrics. Very like, oh, okay, that was a lot. But yeah, so
that was a lot.
Ticketmaster is like, hey, those barcodes aren't going to work. And the people that leaked the ticket barcodes are saying Ticketmaster lies. Ticketmaster says they don't work, but the Ticketmaster barcodes do work. So who knows? Don't go trying it. That's not a good idea. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, because would you not be a thief at that point?
Yeah.
Like, let's say I grabbed one of those barcodes and showed up at, you know, with my Swifty shirt on, as I do.
That you definitely own.
I have a whole closet full of them, of course. I celebrate her entire discography.
For every era.
She's amazing.
I'm sure.
Like, the true musical genius of our time.
She's the Beethoven of our time. Yeah. Truly.
Mozart has nothing on Miss Swift.
But if you did that, yeah, you would be...
Right.
Even though you didn't leak the barcodes, I would be breaking the law. Yeah. You'd be stealing.
Breaking the law. Attempting to steal access into this
It's literally concert. So true. Well, it's a good thing that as much as a fan of Taylor Swift as you are, you'll refrain, yes, I'm sure.
I will.
I don't know that they can keep you away from the Fish concert, though, so we'll have to keep an eye on you for that one.
Yeah, you might have better luck at the Fish concert, honestly.
That'd be really funny if a phishing attack led to the leaking of fish tickets.
Which is spelled P-H-I-S-H, exactly. Right? Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny. I mean, funny irony. Not funny.
Yeah, the irony, right?
Right.
It'd be ironically funny.
It would not be. I would not be laughing.
No.
Nobody's laughing. It's not funny. It's no laughing matter.
Listen, I would... boot stomp any.
Yeah. It just making me angry just thinking about it.
I could see you just spinning around like a little Tasmanian devil.
I am spitting angry.
Yes.
I'm a whirling vortex of terror. That's what I am right now.
Vortex of terror.
Yeah, it's from a Kicking and Screaming, I think, with Will Ferrell. It's a good movie.
Did I see that? I don't think I did.
I recommend it.
Check it out.
It's a cute movie. It's fun. Yeah. I got to take a break, though, because I got to calm my emotions down. I'm so angry about this. So,
Pixie dust.
Well, when we come back, we've got a lot more fun stuff that we're going to talk about. Well, fun is a strong word. So stick around for after the break to find out what the heck I'm talking about. We'll be back with more Technado.
Anthony, what are we going to be talking about?
We are talking about our newest and most excellent Cloud Plus course. This course really does an amazing job of taking the learner from the very fundamental aspects of cloud and then walking them through some of the more advanced topics. They're going to learn about how to secure the cloud, how to optimize the cloud, how to save costs with the cloud. So this is not a course with complete bias to AWS or Google Cloud Platform or Microsoft Azure. We breathe life into this material by doing demonstrations across all of the big three cloud vendors.
We have a lot of fun in Cloud Plus, and we know that you will too, so come check it out.
Welcome back for more Technado. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. Hopefully you're enjoying the episode so far. We would love to. Why are you laughing at me?
Because I'm just thinking, like before the break, we said you were going to go through a little pressure release.
And then I went, welcome back.
Yeah.
I drank more of my Celsius and I got an energy boost. If there's anything like Daniel was saying earlier, any stories that you want us to cover, anything you feel like we missed, what you want to see in the future, leave a comment. We love to hear it. I heard that Spotify is rolling out comments on podcasts now. So they're trying to like compete with YouTube a little bit. So if you are a Spotify, usually I say like, oh, go to the YouTube channel. If you're a Spotify enjoyer and you can comment there, feel free. I'll let our team that like does the uploading there. Check the comments.
Let us know.
If they do continue to roll that out. Maybe it'll fail as a feature, but hopefully it works out. And of course, subscribe if you haven't already so you never miss an episode in the future if you are enjoying the content so far. We got a couple more articles we're going to get into here. This is going to be an interesting one. Eurovishing fraudsters, those all sound like fake words, add physical intimidation to their arsenal. So it's not just manipulating emotions and, you know, I really need your help. Yeah. I'm a Nigerian prince and I need this money. Now
it's
like
manipulating your kneecap.
that's the one way to put it. Yeah. They've announced the arrest, Europol has, of 54 people in connection with a vishing scam
It
seems like a lot. A decent amount in combination with social engineering tactics and physical threats. So this is a fun one. I don't know that this is like a super common thing that you hear. Usually I feel like
you would know more about this if this was common, but I don't hear about this very often, which is why I chose this article, which it's like your standard fare of here comes the phone call. So they're kind of, you don't notice they're talking about vishing.
Yeah.
Right. So they call you on the phone. It's voice phishing. And they say, hey, you know, and they use social engineering tactics to try to elicit information out of you. And then they use that information to, you know, do identity theft and X, Y, and Z, whatever, you know, horrible thing that they decide to do that week. From there, So they, I think if I'm remembering correctly, and I see Sophia's kind of scouring the article right now, so you keep me on point. They, once they have some information, they then use that to get basically you to give them credit card numbers, things of that nature.
Yeah, this is they show up at their homes.
Eventually, yes. They're showing up, and I think they're trying to like say, hey, let me borrow your ATM card, and I'll go to the machine, or they take them to the ATM and get them to withdraw money.
Isn't that just like, okay, take the vishing out of it. Yeah. If nobody called me ahead of time, if somebody just went up to my door at random and they were hoping to find somebody that was going to, I mean, if they just knocked on my door and then I opened it and they were like, give me your money, give me your bank card.
Yeah.
That's already without the vishing. I feel like that's a crime that already exists. Like, even if somebody didn't vish to get my information ahead of time.
If I came and strong-armed you to the bank.
Yeah. Even if you're not physically beating me and
or said, give me your card and your PIN.
Yeah. It just to show up and like threaten me without threatening me, like it should be a shame if you didn't give me that PIN number. Like,
be a real shame.
That by itself is bad enough. But then to go through the effort of like ahead of time,
it's a real nice collarbone you got there.
It's a shame. If
I would hate to see something bad happen.
So definitely in conjunction with phishing or vishing, I've definitely never heard of.
Yeah,
usually it's like you said, over the phone, and like that one video of that guy that was like freaking out because the person was going to redeem the codes that they bought, and he was like, do not redeem it.
The scammer.
That's usually as far as it goes, as far as them getting angry or being threatening.
Well, because usually that kind of like, so I think this was in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
In an American context, what Sophia is kind of alluding to is that a lot of scammers come from India. And those Indian scammers will call and get people to go buy gift cards and then give them the redemption codes. And someone was like trolling with them and go, oh, I'm going to go ahead and redeem that code. They're like, no, do that.
I will redeem it. Yes, do not redeem
it. I will redeem it. They're like, no, I'm typing it in. So redeem it. And they're just trolling them and having a good time. It's kind of funny to watch that happen. These people are basically just going, okay, we've got the right person. And then they show up on your doorstep.
Right.
Saying, we are going to hurt you if you do not give us your card and your PIN number so that we can go take your money out.
Because if you get a call and they're asking for information and you give them a name and an address, and then it occurs to you like, this is not legit. And even if you don't give them any financial information or anything that's super sensitive, it doesn't matter if they're engaging in this kind of a tactic because they've already got your address. So you don't, even if you're savvy enough to recognize this seems like a scam, if they've got your address, what are you going to do? If they show up and are like, give us your money, give us your card, whatever, you could be the most savvy person in the world.
I think in my mind there used to be this poem by a man. His name was Colt, Sam Colt. And he used to come in the box and it said something to the effect of, be afraid of no man, regardless of his size.
Mm-hmm.
When danger happens, call on me and I will equalize.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like, but nowadays we got like Ring cameras and things. So don't answer your door. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Unless I know who it is. I'm like, I'm looking at my camera and going, who are you?
If I get a knock on the door, it's the Amazon delivery guy.
Yeah.
And I don't open it. I wait for him to go away. And then I go out and get my package. Like,
we wonder why we're not a friendlier society. Because I got to worry about like home invasions.
Yeah. People will be like, these millennials and these Gen Zers, they don't even, you know, neighbors, they don't communicate. I'm like, but that's because if somebody knocks on my door, I'm like, somebody's here to hurt me. It could literally be the most innocent thing in the world. And I'm like, okay.
I wonder if that's like, is that a skewed reality? Because we see it, you know, media sensationalizes everything they can nowadays because it gets views, it gets clicks. So are we perceiving a more dangerous reality than we actually live in?
It's definitely possible.
Or is it the society has changed and people are just horrible?
And I think it's like do I really want to take that risk? Like, even if the odds that the person standing at my door is, you know, 75% chance that it's a totally harmless person, they just start, hey, can I borrow an egg? Or if people still do that.
Right.
Do I want to take the chance that the worst thing that happens if I don't answer the door is they're like, wow, what a jerk. Like, she didn't answer her door. And then they walk away or they think I'm not home. That's the worst that happens is I get a reputation of being antisocial. Yeah. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
So, like, if I answer the door and it is a threat, the worst that happens is I die. So, I mean, I know that sounds extreme, but like, that is,
but it
the,
is
worst
the worst that,
could
happens.
Happen.
Yes, absolutely.
So do I want to take that chance?
So it's just simple. I think some Navy SEAL was talking about if you sense danger, right? The best thing you can do is run away from it, right? I don't care who you are. You're a tough guy. You're tough, whatever. Forget that noise.
Yeah.
Just don't engage where the danger is. and then you will avoid dangerous situations. Like, but if these people are coming to your house, best thing you can do is just not answer your door. Now, you don't know that that's who it is when they knock. And of course, societal norms are your door gets a ring at the bell, you open the door and go, hello, how are you? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
So this is crazy. This is why it's like another reason to avoid answering my door is that my visitors might show up.
Yeah. And I guess at the beginning of this whole process, you could avoid answering the phone to a number you don't know. Now, I guess that
is my modus operandi.
Yeah, that's
I don't know the number. I do not answer it.
It's especially nice now because I don't know about Android. I'm sure Apple seems to be behind whatever Android's doing.
Spam.
Right. It'll say like scam caller or potential spam or whatever. And then I just, or potential political caller. I don't pick up. I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. I'm not answering that.
I'm good.
And then if it's a number that does not say that and I answer it and it's like, hello, Embassy Suites. No, like I'm not even going to hear you out. No, unless I have some time and I feel like messing with you. But like most of the time, I'm not even going to.
My philosophy is if I don't know the number and you are someone that legit needs to get a hold of me, you will leave a message and I will call you right back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
The end.
So it seems like maybe some of this could be avoided if, you know, people are vigilant. It's easy to say I'm not the one dealing with this, but being vigilant and not answering to numbers you don't know, not giving information over the phone like that. There's a lot of ways.
Yeah. And if you're trying to scam me to say you're from X, Y, or Z organization that I actually say you're my bank or whatever.
Right.
And you say, I'm with your bank. Please call us back at this number. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the website. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look up the support number and I'm going to call that number.
And then be like, hey, you guys called?
If it's the same, then I'll call you right back. If it's not, you're getting nothing.
Yeah.
I'll call the support number and go, just like you said, hey, did you guys call? Nope.
Didn't you have to you deal with your bank or something and it was legit, were like, look, I can't take the chance. And they were like, good for you.
Yeah. Because I totally understand. I said, I'll call y'all back.
Yeah. Better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
And if they're legit, if it is legitimately your bank, they'll be like, good on you. Pat on the back. So definitely scary stuff. Hopefully I hope this does not become the norm because that would really suck. Come on. Are we that depraved? I really hope we don't get to that point where that's the norm. That was kind of scary. That was like, all right.
Yeah.
So we'll move on from that.
I'm a cynic. What can I say? Yeah.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's hard not to be these days. It makes me sound like an old person. It's hard in these days.
We shot all the fishers.
Mr. Sam Coach.
That's right.
I just
enjoyed that poem.
I didn't know that was a thing. That was the first I had heard of that poem. So
I was like,
thank you for enlightening me. I feel like in the last several weeks, we've mentioned Russia in some capacity, one way or another,
whether
we're talking about Kaspersky or whatever. So this week is no exception. Russia is forcing Apple to remove dozens of VPN apps from the App Store.
Literally two dozen.
literally two dozen. What are we, two dozen?
Such a weird...
I know.
It's such a, to me.
You wouldn't get it. You literally wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
They've removed 25 virtual private network apps from the Russian App Store at the request of Roskomnadzor. Roskomnadzor.
Yeah.
Our dog. We'll call him that. Our dog. Russia's telecommunications watchdog. And this is as a result of these apps are like against the law in Russia. But this is not new. I think it was back in like 2018 or 2019. That this has been, into law in 2017. Putin signed a bill banning VPNs, proxies, and Tor in July 2017, but they didn't try to enforce it until a couple of years later. And so now they're going after Apple and being like, you need to remove these from the Russian App Store because our citizens cannot have these. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this is that, because it's like, okay, they're removing the apps from the App Store. These kind of apps are against the law in Russia. Seems pretty cut and dry. I would say, I feel like we talked before about how like legality does not necessarily mean morality, right?
Correct.
So I personally think, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with me, you should be allowed to visit, use VPNs if you want to and visit websites and da 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 da.
It's funny how a lot of people make that argument. Like, it's legal. That
right.
doesn't mean it's right.
Exactly.
Like slavery was legal at one point. That doesn't mean it was right. It was horrible and it should never have existed.
So like these types of apps, these VPNs and proxies and things are banned in Russia so that Russian citizens can't access, because they don't want them using a VPN to access websites that are blocked in Russia, right? I don't think that's right. I don't think that's okay that that's a law in Russia. That's my personal opinion. I don't live there. I'm not a citizen of Russia. But I don't think it's right that, you should be controlling the flow of information like that, right? That's not new, though.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the idea that, like, okay, just because this is a law in Russia, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be like, well, good on Apple for, you know, good on Russia for enforcing this, good on Apple for doing this. I still don't think it's a good thing. It's just that legally, this is what they're supposed to do. This is what they have to do.
So they have to comply. That's just the way it is. I'm looking at the censorship map, the internet censorship map. It's weird. So in the green is least censored. So through things that are greener are less censored. And the things that are orange and red are most censored. It's weird how, like, the map is basically divided.
Yeah.
With a very little, like, in between.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And it kind of moves that way across, except for this. It's Venezuela. Yeah, makes sense.
That makes sense. That does track.
That absolutely makes sense. But we see in Russia, it's not as red as it could be, but it's pretty red. China really kicking ass. Yeah. The big red firewall, as they call it. Go ahead. You will not see what we do not want you to see. But Russia's, you know, I think China's onto something. maybe we should follow suit. And
doesn't surprise me.
Allowing for VPN access is obviously a circumvention of those controls. So they do not want that to occur. And therefore, they're kicking people, VPN companies, out of business because they don't want you doing that.
So, I mean, I don't know if we have any, like, Russian viewers or if we're banned in Russia, but if tech access to data was blocked in Russia because we're, I don't know.
So I had a student, like, so my family will host Chinese students.
Yeah, right.
Usually once a year. And it's really interesting to talk to the, especially when they're a little bit older and, you know, they have a little more experience with life and politics and things of that nature. And one of my students we talked about, she loved China. She was a huge, was a patriot to her country. And it was but it was really good conversation. But one thing she asked me when she found out what I did for a living was, can you teach me about VPNs?
Aww.
And I was like, really? Why is that? She's like, well,
oh man,
you know, here's the thing. I go, so you think maybe your government overreaches a little too far? She said, yeah, too much, a little too much. She talked about comedians disappearing because...
Oh, yeah.
Well, this guy got, like, she told me this, like, well-known comedian got drunk at a bar, and he got up and did, like, a stand-up set drunk, and he said a thing or two, and it got, like, cell-phoned.
Ooh.
And he just disappeared one day, and no one ever saw or heard from him again.
Very 1984.
Yeah. I was like, that is some scary stuff right there.
I was going to ask if you helped her, but I won't make you incriminate yourself like that.
Well, I don't care. I remember Don telling me, he's like, you're going to turn her into a political dissident. She's going to be sitting next to that comedian, some gulag. I'm an American.
Good
I believe
you.
In American values.
Yeah,
you know?
Do your part. Yeah, they can't extradite you from there.
Yeah,
like, no. You're an accomplice to that crime.
Come and get me, China. Come and get me.
So yeah, couldn't go 1 week without mentioning Russia in some capacity. Had to throw that in there. In other news, though, moving away from Russia, CISA and partners join ASD's ACSC, lots of acronyms, to release advisory on PRC, state-sponsored group APT-40. That is a new record.
Man, that's a lot.
For acronyms in a headline there. So they're it's the Australian Signals Directorate's Australian Cybersecurity Center.
Speaking of China, APT-40.
Yep.
Is kind of a big deal, apparently, because CISA is releasing CISA or whatever the hell they're
called. Whatever you want to call them. Yeah.
Right? They're releasing this advisory along with the ADC, PCS, DFGA, CHI, JK, LMNOP from. And you really got to pare that down, guys. Come on. That's a lot. From Australia. That's the word. It was eluding me. Like I said, losing my mind today. Welcome to the de-evolution of Daniel's brain.
Allow it. Just this once we'll allow
it.
It's
fun to watch. But yeah, so this is the National Security Agency, FBI, UK's National Cybersecurity Center, the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity, so the CCCS, New Zealand's National Cybersecurity Center, German Federal Intelligence Service, and Federal Office of the Protection of the for the Protection of the Constitution. Good night. That is a lot. What else do we got here? The Republic of Korea's National Intelligence Service. I would assume that is South Korea. And Japan's National Center for Incident Response and Strategy for Cybersecurity. A lot of them getting together saying, hey, APT-40, kind of a problem right now. You need to kind of keep a lookout. I saw this in every major news outlet. So I thought, it seems to be a big deal.
Seems to be relevant.
Probably a good idea to just mention it for those of you watching at home.
Yeah.
It might be relevant to you.
Yeah.
You need to be aware of that. So start looking into, if you're doing threat modeling at all, you might want to look at how APT 40 kind of does their thing and see if that's going to affect you one way or the other.
It's funny to me to see, like, we've got the UK, we've got Canada, New Zealand, Germany, South Korea, like you said, Japan, all these people that are like, yeah, this is bad news, like collaborating on this advisory. Yeah. If you've got the Avengers of the countries getting yeah. together to be like, yeah, this yeah. is bad news, then if they can agree on this, you know it's probably pretty bad.
Yeah, this is basically the U.S. government going, Avengers assemble!
exactly.
We have a real threat. The kaiju that is the CCP has apparently lost their minds.
And they've got some aliases: Kryptonite Panda, Gingham Typhoon, Leviathan.
Bronze Mohawk is one of them. I love that one.
These all sound to me like Fortnite skins. Like, yeah, I bought the Kryptonite Panda this weekend. And, you know,
did you? Awesome. Man, I've been wanting to get that.
New emote called the Bronze Mohawk. Like, that just sounds to me like Fortnite speak. I know that. People are going to be like, no way, you just said that. I'm going to get some hate for that.
Absolutely.
It's okay, though.
Just said that.
It's okay, though. I'll be a Fortnite sympathizer.
Deal with it.
Just for today, I'll be a Fortnite sympathizer. But you're right, this is definitely relevant, and this did pop up a lot in like news cycles this week. So
that.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Can't leave that on the table.
Cannot leave that on the table. And speaking of Fortnite and other video game related, I wore my gamer earrings today.
I see you got the DMGs.
I do. I couldn't not talk about something gaming related. Roblox has suffered a breach. It's only a matter of time before a big gaming service like this underwent something like this. Email and IP address details exposed in this Roblox data breach. If you're not familiar with Roblox, I would imagine you've probably at least heard of it at this point, but it is predominantly used by like kids and teenagers.
Yeah.
So that's what stuck out to me about this. If you've got email addresses and IP addresses getting leaked, either that belong to like kids and teenagers or that are their parents. If I'm a parent, I'm going to be like, crap. Like, my kids been playing. I'm like, here, go log into Roblox, like entertain yourself, whatever. And now I got to deal with my stuff being exposed, you know? So there were a lot of parents that were like, this is unacceptable. Roblox needs to protect our kids. And I'm like, I get it. But also, like, this is going to happen eventually. It's hard to avoid something like this.
I'm going to look it up before I say anything.
Okay.
You keep
going. Okay. Fair enough.
Tell us more.
Fair enough. So they did release a statement about it and say, hey, there was unauthorized access to a subset of Roblox user information. It was from a Roblox developer conference registration list. So registered name, email, IP address was among the things that were leaked. But the main concern was that it's predominantly kids and teenagers that use this site. There are adults that play on Roblox, and more power to you. I'm not personally a Roblox user, but I've never played it, so I can't really say anything about it. I don't have the data to have an opinion on it.
Yeah. So it's funny. You were talking about the, you know, your parents are upset.
Yes.
I'm looking at this article from the BBC from 2 years ago. Warning, this article contains text and images of a schmexual nature. And it's talking about Roblox and how they have a problem. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, did we not? And apparently for at least 2 years, we've known about that. Now you're mad?
It's not a good thing, obviously. I don't know that it's necessarily surprising that you get people like that are doing and saying things.
I can't even read. Don't show my screen.
No. Yeah. No.
Right. I can't even read.
It's, I what's think, because even in like chat rooms and stuff online where you wouldn't think there'd be a ton of kids, there are always going to be people targeting kids that are trying to target kids.
I tell this to my wife all the time. Where there are children, there are predators.
And even
right?
areas,
because that's their prey, and they got to go.
Yeah.
Home.
If you can see this, even in areas like sites like Omegle, where there should not be kids on Omegle, but there are always going to be people targeting kids, even in an area that's not meant for kids. So on a site like Roblox, where this is, it was originally intended for children and teenagers.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be flooded with people that are looking to take advantage and lure kids and stuff. So I don't think it's surprising.
Right.
It's not a good thing.
I'm
not
saying you should be able to let your kids play Roblox or whatever, but as a parent, I'm a parent. I have three kids. Man, it is my job to protect them.
Yeah.
They are immature and do not understand. That's why they can get easily taken advantage of. So we have to step in and do a really good job of like monitoring and helping and being there to make sure that they are safe.
Yeah. So even without even beyond the issue of just safety in services like this, in this case with this breach, of course, the primary concerns are going to be phishing attacks and identity theft.
Against your children. Because if they are using their own email accounts,
right,
and now those have been compromised, they're going to start receiving phishing accounts. And God knows where that's going to pop up, like where that information is going to get sold to or leaked to or whatever.
Yeah.
Who's going to utilize that? And knowing that Roblox, think in the mind of a predator, oh, I now have better bait to catch my what I'm going for, right?
Yeah.
This is a problem.
It just makes the job a little easier.
As a parent, I would be super concerned about this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
My kids aren't on Roblox, so.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So this particular breach is, you know, you're good.
I would be freaking out. My kids' accounts would be smoked at this point.
Yeah.
And their email addresses smoked.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Everything smoked. Anything associated with this, I would smoke it.
I'd be concerned. I mean, I'm not a kid. And if I was on Roblox, I'd be like, oh, that sucks. Like my email address, my IP address. Like, dang it. Now I got to go in and reset passwords and whatever just to be safe. So anyway.
I mean, us as adults have a hard enough time.
Right,
dealing
exactly.
with phishing attempts and whatnot.
Much less when kids are involved.
Man, kids have no chance.
Yeah. So, you kids have no chance.
Yeah. It is a one-sided fist fight, man. That is.
Yeah. So if you're on Roblox, if you're a kid on Roblox, or if you're a parent that has a kid on Roblox, this is something to keep in mind. Maybe you've already heard of it, but this is something to keep in mind for sure.
Offline games is where it's at.
Board games, honestly.
Right.
Bring back board games.
Put the family together, sit at the table, talk.
I'm not saying you got to play Monopoly. I understand that can be a relationship ruiner.
Yeah, it will. It will.
You know, you don't have to play Uno and then destroy lives, but you know, they're fun.
Clue.
Yeah.
Clue's
play
a
some
good
Clue.
One.
It's a nice slow pace.
And it's like you have to use logic and it teaches good thinking, critical thinking skills to your kids and yourself.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm going to start arguing for us to play Clue more at my family gatherings.
Clue's good.
Nobody ever wants to play board games
anymore.
They have
a Simpsons edition, which we have.
Do they actually? Yeah. That's pretty funny. Yeah. Oh, I think that's pretty much going to do it. I guess that's also gaming news, talking about Clue. But wanted to wrap it up with that piece from Roblox just as a little PSA. I think that was pretty much it. I didn't see any more breaking news. I was looking while we were going through the articles.
No. I mean,
didn't see anything come up.
We had a few good ones in there, but
a few good ones in there.
Again, like we said, kind of light this week.
Quick update really quick. I think I mentioned it last week, but as of the day that this episode's airing, Thursday the 11th, I guess, we do have a webinar today at 2 p.m.
Not today, tomorrow. Well,
the day that the episode's releasing.
This,
that's what I'm saying. The day that it's released on the 11th, we'll have a webinar at 2 p.m. Eastern time with Patrick Gorman, InfoSec Pat.
InfoSec Pat.
It's going to be a good time.
It's my dog, man. So we met at B-Sides Tampa. I'm wearing my B-Sides Tampa 20. This was the 2020 B-Sides Tampa. I was there.
Yeah.
I got the t-shirt. Right? It was fun.
Before disaster struck.
It was like literally weeks before COVID, and it hit in Hillsborough County, like which is where Tampa is.
Yeah.
Anywho. I got to meet him at B-Sides Tampa this year, and we just hit it off, man. He's a super good guy, has done a lot of cool stuff. He's got a great YouTube channel. He does a lot to help people in the community, try to get into the community and get into their first cyber job. So it ought to be really good to have him on and have him be able to ask questions or answer questions for people out there that are looking to get some information about what they can do to get into the career or advance their career and that kind of stuff. It'll be a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring your questions.
Please bring your questions. It's going to be
a super smart guy.
And it'll be here in this studio, I think. It's going to be a good time. I hadn't met Patrick until HackspaceCon this year.
HackspaceCon, yeah.
I had seen him on like LinkedIn and stuff, but I hadn't met him until this year. That's also where we met our last guest, Jacob Swazinski. I'm wearing
Swiss
the
security.
Merch. Wearing the merch today.
Showed
I had to
off.
Represent. I said I was going to wear it like a few weeks ago, and then I totally forgot. So. Yeah. I'm wearing it today. But we go to meet.
Show the
meet,
QR code.
Got it. No, I don't need to be doing that. I don't need to do a 360.
Yeah.
We'll get a chance to chat with Patrick a little bit more at length tomorrow. And like Daniel
said. What are you talking about, a 360?
Oh, I thought you said on the back.
No.
Yeah. There you go. Code. There's the QR code. Go ahead and scan that. Pause the video. Please. All right. Free advertising.
That's right.
There you go, Jacob, if you're watching.
We're hooking him up.
I think that's pretty much going to do it now that I've gotten my not sponsored sponsorship in. So definitely join us for that webinar tomorrow. Join us next week, of course, for a new Technado. Leave your comments. Let us know what you want to see in the future. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed today's show, consider subscribing so you'll never miss a new episode.